noting, I think if you open your books at Isaiah, because we'll be reading some passages there quickly, and I particularly want to look at chapters 1 and 2, a little bit from 11, and then we look at 14, so that's the idea. The first three chapters of Hosea are mainly to do with Hosea and Gomer, and that relationship. God commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute, and off he went, and that relationship was very poor, and Gomer went off, of course, to her lovers. And that is looked on as really a parable between Israel and God in those last chapters, between 4 and 14. So that's the basis of it. I think we're not quite getting there, but we should do. Ah, here they are. Right, we're getting there. So that's basically the bit that I introduced. First three chapters, adultery and the problems that Hosea had with Gomer. And finally, national transgression, Israel and God. So, very briefly, of course, very briefly. We want to think about what happened, how these prophets, these were prophets here to the northern kingdom. Hosea was a prophet to the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom. About that length of time he prophesied, we have it there. And the New Testament connotations are, of course, the importance to us. The verse that Peter uses and the verse that Paul uses, in other words, we were not a people and now we are a people. We are the people of God. We were, in a sense, not under grace, but now we're under grace, as Duncan has emphasized. And that is the two chapters. And of course, the other verse that's important, in other words, the Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, where we have that beautiful situation where in Hosea, of course, it says, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And of course, they're used as questions in Hosea, in the sense that we find that in chapter 13, verse 14, if you look in the NIV or a modern version, he's saying, shall I redeem them from death? Shall I redeem them from the grave? And of course, the Apostle Paul turns that round so beautifully, doesn't he? By God's grace. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory. And Hosea means salvation. Joshua and Jesus, of course, means the salvation of God. Yahweh is salvation. And that salvation, as Duncan has said, is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what we're having, and Mike said he was going to count how many times we use the word grace in our deliberations this afternoon, but I don't apologise, there we are. The case for grace, yet still more grace, and I'm sure we're going to have Newton's great hymn to sing later on, yet still more grace than when we first began. And of course, love to the loveless, that's Gomer, and love was shown. And that's really to us, isn't it, in a CareLinks conference. Wake me up inside, wake me up. And those parables, those physical parables which God gave to Jeremiah carrying the yoke on his shoulders, Ezekiel acting as a small boy, Isaiah walking in the streets dressed as a prisoner for 3 years. And here we have this prophet Hosea. What was he told to do? It beggars belief, doesn't he? Go and marry a prostitute. Yes, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Well, what was the son's name? Jezreel. Jezreel, of course. There is that vengeance in the word because of the difficulties there. Jezreel. And, of course, the other two, coming down from chapter 1 and verse 6, she conceived again, and they call her name Lo Ruhamah, verse 6. For I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel. Then some years later, when she'd weaned Lo Ruhamah, verse 8, she bore a son and called his name Lo Ammi. For you are not my people. So these were wake-up calls. And here, this is God in his grace. And that word grace means in Hebrew, it's a sort of stooping down. Not earned, not favour, but God stooping down in love to bring salvation to Israel. If they would listen. But of course, in that particular section in Hosea that I've looked at, 11 and so on, they were sent away. We know the evil kings at the end of Israel's existence, all sort of committing an assassination in the land. Those kings were assassinated towards the end, from Jeroboam 2, 4 or 5 kings. And then Hoshea, of course, was taken captive, the last king, wasn't he? But what was going to happen? How was God's grace going to come back? Well, the three children tell us of God's grace. Their meanings are powerful. Jezreel means God sows and God scatters. Jezreel is near Mount Gilboa. And it was concerned with Jehu's judgments on Ahab. And what happened was that Jehu murdered more than he was commanded. And this birth of this son then shows that God would avenge Jehu by this innocent blood. And then, of course, the second child, Lo Ruhamah. And it meant unpitied and not loved. And finally, the last one, Lo Ammi, another son, you are not my people. So, those three teach us God's grace. And we come back to love to the loveless, the lovely. God would pity, God would bring them back. And chapter 2 is perhaps our key chapter to look at. If you cast your eyes over, I haven't time to read all the details, but let's have a look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will allure you. I'll bring her into the wilderness, into the desert place, and speak comfort to her. I will give to her vineyards and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. That really is the key to the hope of Israel, to all our beliefs, brethren and sisters. The valley of Achor. Achor means trouble, and Achan stole from God. And Israel were defeated in Joshua 7. The details are there in Joshua 7. So rather than a door of hopelessness, of defeat and trouble, God will provide through his grace a door of hope. And my favourite verse in this particular section is verse 19 and 20 of this chapter. You see, betrothed in my version is mentioned three times. I will betroth you to me. Yes, I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, loving kindness, mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. So a sort of overflowing generosity and grace. It's clothing that new covenant that God has with Israel, which Peter's speaking about, and Paul, later on we shall hear about that, that is clothed with the wedding garment of betrothal and grace. And these qualities that are brought to the marriage, surely, are qualities, brethren and sisters, that God brings. But are they just qualities that are there that God will bring? Or are they those that God will implant in us? These five things here. The I wills are there throughout. And then we've got righteousness. We've got justice. We've got loving kindness. That word, hesed. It's a kindness of stooping down, of grace. David's grace to Mephibosheth. Is there anyone of the house of Tol that I can show kindness, hesed, I can show grace to? Well, there is one. He's crippled in his feet and they don't know what you want to do with him. Bring him in. He's going to be here with me. That grace, that stooping down. So that's two lovely verses there. Turning over to 11. Chapter 11, verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. I stooped and fed them. And then, finally, chapter 14. I'll just run through these. This wake-up call. And then this heart-to-heart talk. We've seen it. I've run through the verses. Pleading with his people, punishing this people, promising his people, his words of promise, his grace, his gifts, the valley of Achor, a door of hope, the vineyards, and the voice of song. And that final government, the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. You shall call me Ishe, husband. So words of confession, yes, do they come back? Yes, in 14, words of repentance, take away all iniquity. Words of faith, in thee the fatherless find mercy. Words of entreaty, receive us graciously. Words of praise, the cause, the offering of our lips. And the promise of God, I will heal, I will love, I will be as the dew unto Israel. The gentleness of God's approach. That change. Words of confession to God. Words of promise. And those are things that we can take with us this afternoon. I will heal their waywardness and love them freely, for mine anger has turned away from them. And I'll just leave that up before the next speaker, because I've not time to look at the names, but you can just glance through there and read it, can't you? Those are the names. Hosea, salvation, Yahweh saves, the Lord Jesus Christ, Joshua, the son of Beeri, the well of God. And I think a connection is at the well of Samaria, where Jesus tells the woman, there will be spiritual well of water springing into eternal life. Gomer means complete in and all things, and this points to what she will eventually become. When Hosea bought her back, of course, he had to pay for her. We are bought with a price, aren't we, brethren and sisters? She was the daughter of Diblaim, two cakes of figs, doubly fruitful. One verse in Scripture seems to connect the two names together. Psalm 57, verse 2 and 3. I will cry to the Most High God who performs all things, Gomer, for me. He will send from heaven and save Hosea. He reproaches the one who will swallow me up. He will send forth his mercy, his grace and truth in Jesus Christ. What a lovely commentary. So God shows his heart and his holiness. As Duncan said, that's one side of the equation. But together we have his compassion, mercy, loving kindness, abounding, abundant, eternal, amazing grace.